won a game against, I think, North Dakota might have been number one at the time last year, and Duluth came in,
number two.
Which polls you look at. Were they number two in both polls, Dirk, you know? But big win. It's good for our league, and, you know, Bemidji's a good team. On any given night, anyone can beat anyone, as proven by Arizona State, first-year program, the Division I, making the move from club, beating Alaska up in the tournament, which is, you know, a huge win for Arizona State. So for Greg Powers and, you know, Arizona State and their people and staff and players, congratulations. You know, you want our league to do well, but it's good to see a new program come on in and get a win early. And, yeah, they're going to be a better team than a lot of people give them credit for.
Bowling Green with a couple of wins, a sweep over Ohio State. And not really that surprising, but 6-2, 2-0, Chris Snell gets a shutout.
Yeah, no, Bowling Green's got a good team, so I'm not surprised at all. And I think our league, when all said and done, you know, is going to have a lot of big wins.
Huntsville?
Yeah, Huntsville beat UConn.
Went over UConn.
Yeah, beat a Hockey East team. I know they split that weekend, but Huntsville's going to be very competitive, take another step forward, which we talked about. I think our league is going to be condensed again this year. I think at the parity within the league, it's going to be a real tight race to see who ends up where. So you're not going to have any easy games, you know. Let's put it that way. Every night's going to be a battle, and you got to show up and play your best, or else you're going
to
get beat.
What are your thoughts on Minnesota State struggling to score over the weekend against?
Yeah, not
Nebraska?
Surprised. You know, UNO is a very good team, a Frozen Four team from last year. So, you know, I knew they were in heavy there playing UNO, and even though they were at home, but they're making some adjustments too. You know, they're without Leitner and LaFontaine and Palmquist. They lost some good players, so it takes a little bit of time to have some new players step up. And looks like they outshot them. Looks like they outplayed them Saturday night.
Yes.
Just couldn't score. So Minnesota State, they'll be a good team. I mean, they'll figure that out.
Now, our opponent next week, Ferris State, ended up a tie and a loss over the weekend against Western Michigan.
Yeah, tight games. They lost the first game in Kalamazoo to Western Michigan late in the game on a power play goal. A lot of power plays in both games. So, you know, to me, that serving notice is going to be a physical series, and our special teams are going to have to be good. But, you know, Ferris is a good team. They're the only team in, two teams in our league have both made the Final Five the last 2 years, and one of them is Ferris State. So they know how to get there. They know how to play. They've had success. They've been not too far removed from a Frozen Four. So they've got a good program, and they expect to win. And they've got nine of their top 10 scorers back. They've got quite a bit of their scoring back. So we're going to have our hands full going down to Ferris State.
Northern Michigan goes down to Madison, where they always seem to play well down at the Kohl Center. They end up with two ties in that game.
Yeah, interesting games. You know, there's some scoring late. I think Wisconsin got a late goal the first night to send it to overtime. So,
and the Wildcats, I think 3-0 they led it.
Yeah,
and
then
they
led 3-0 in the second game, and Wisconsin scored three in the third to tie it. So I'm sure, you know, you didn't lose, so I'm sure Walt, you know, a lot of positives out of the weekend. But having said that, you know, you'd like to come home with a win or two in your pocket. But, you know, they're improved too. So it's interesting. Those scores are interesting because, you know, everybody's talked about Wisconsin, but I think they've got more talent there than people give them credit for.
Lake Superior had a 2-0 lead on North Dakota, but couldn't hang on.
Yeah, and not surprised. I mean, obviously, I think listening to everybody who's seen Lake Superior and how they played, that they've added, you know, some speed to their lineup. They're playing a very young lineup. They might be one of the youngest teams in college hockey, not age-wise, not average age because their freshmen are older, but just as far as class, freshmen and sophomores playing, and they've got a good goaltender there, so they'll be in every game. And I think they'll continue to improve and make strides. Tough way to start when you play North Dakota and Michigan State.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so let's get to some of the questions right now. We can
sure
do that, and we can talk a little
and
bit.
And I have one for everybody out there, too. Just some feedback. I'd like some feedback on the Lamplighters Lounge. You know,
yes,
it's something new that we've added, and we want to try to improve that, make it the best we can be. So if you have any suggestions, obviously you can let us know this morning or shoot me an email, and we'll pass that on. But we want to make our games as fun and as friendly and as comfortable to come to. So if there's something that we can do, whether it's a Lamplighters Lounge, something new, let us know, and we'll try and accommodate you, because we want the total experience of coming to a game. The game itself is the main attraction, but we want to really make it a fun and family and happy environment, so that you want to continue to come back.
All right, here's your first question, Coach. I was wondering, what is a typical pregame meal for the team, and what What is a typical pregame meal for the coaching staff?
Well, coaches, it doesn't matter. They could eat anything, and they don't have to go out and perform. But our players, we usually have a meal Thursday night, and heavy on pasta and chicken, and not much red meat. You want to try and stay away from the red meat. So a lot of pasta, whatever it might be, and we try to switch it up, you know, whether you have angel hair or just regular spaghetti or whatnot. Mm-hmm. You have to try and change it up because they get bored. It's a long year, and you get a lot of pasta. It looks the same. So chicken and then obviously some sort of vegetable and salad in there. But you want the carbs. You want the protein. And then Saturday we'll basically have the same thing. Friday we'll have a pregame meal, which is heavy on pasta and chicken and potatoes and rice and things of that nature. And then after the game Friday night, you have a postgame meal too. So there's a lot of eating going on.
Here's somebody asking about Jimmy Davis. Why is he still playing? I think they're referring to, wasn't he a senior last year?
Yeah,
why did
yeah.
he graduate?
Yeah,
people
Jimmy
still
was,
don't know.
Yeah, Jimmy was a senior, but he had an extra year because redshirt. He didn't play enough games 1 year. So we talked last spring to Jimmy about coming back, if he'd like to come back. And we had eight defensemen, he'd be one of the eight before he went out and brought another recruit in. And he decided to do that, so he's working on a dual major now, and he played well this weekend. I thought it was good. You know, he's experienced. He's been in a lot of big games. He knows what it takes to win, and I thought he looked – I thought Friday he looked good, but I even thought he took another step on Saturday. So it's good. He's making it tough on all the coaches trying to figure out what our lineup's going to be in our travel squad.
This question talks about high-sticking calls. There were several high-sticking calls this past weekend, Coach. Were these calls a result of Laurentian's face shields?
Well, it can be, and I'm not sure. But when you look at them, our stick did come up. And as you see so often now, when a stick comes up and maybe clips somebody in the face mask, you see right away the player, like, head goes down, hand goes up. And a lot of times maybe the referee doesn't see it. Or it's not even that severe, but it's just that contact. And I think the referees are just trying to send a message early here in the year is to control your stick. You have control of your stick, even though we're wearing the face mask or they're wearing the shields. But I don't think the shield versus the face mask had anything to do with it. I just think we had our sticks up high and a couple times accidentally clip guys on the shield. We didn't cut anybody, but you have to control your stick and be careful with it.
Will we see UMD on the schedule for next year?
UMD, Coach Sandlin, please, if you have any concerns, please email Scott Sandlin. I'd like to give his email out over the air, but I can't remember it. But we've talked quite a bit. We do have a scheduling agreement. We're just trying to hammer out whether we play games next year or not. But going forward, yes, we're going to play them in the future, and I look forward to playing that. Them. I know we have some games with Wisconsin in the future in the contract already, and we're talking a couple other teams down the road. So we're going to have a very good schedule, competitive schedule in the future also.
Will there be or can there be? I knew this was going to come up today. Will there be or can there be instant replay for the fans in the stands this year? I think on controversial.
Yeah, that's a good question. I know the league has a mandate. Not like I'm surprised they showed the hit on Alex Patan, because they're not you're trying to protect the referees. You don't want to embarrass the referees. I think that's one reason, and that's what the league states, that why they don't want to show replays on controversial goals and or penalties per se. So I'm surprised that one came up on the video screen, but it's pretty obvious when you see it. So I don't think the fans will see that, and that's out of my hands. And I think the league is really trying to protect the referees, and in case there is a call, and you know, it's subjective. It's all subjective, the referees and the calls they make. So they're just trying to protect them, which I think is the right thing.
Two-part question here. Will any of the freshmen travel to Ferris?
Yes. I can't tell you all three of them will, and I can't tell you that all of them won't. So, they showed good things, and that's what we're going to have to sort through. It's going to be a very difficult process, because what you do is you find a few players have separated themselves up at the top, and then you have a big group right in the middle, and there's really no one at the bottom to me at this point. So it's going to be very difficult. We always talk about the players make the decisions, but a lot of guys, you know, maybe didn't separate themselves. A few guys did, and then you have that big group in the middle that all played well. So we're going to have some tough decisions.
All right, and second part of the question, can one good week of practice overtake a veteran who has, as you say, money in the bank?
It's hard to take a vet who's got money in the bank. you know, and that's what you find even in pro hockey. You see, you know, a lot of guys come in and play these exhibitions.